Here we go. So, Susan, could you just tell me a bit about how you first got involved with community business?
My friend and I done quite a lot in the local community. We ran play schemes. My husband was involved. We're always fairly active within it. And one of the ladies who worked for social work, who were developing things in the area, because this at Milton at that time was seen as an area of social deprivation. She had done a bit of work with us and had heard about the community business taking off in Postle Park. When she came to us with an idea about why don't you think about it, because we were always mumping on about women, you're only seen as this, that and t'other, you know. She went, why don't you go down to one of the meetings and see if it interests you, and you know, we'll introduce you to Colin Roxburgh, who was a worker at the time. So Colin came to see us first and spoke about the ethos of creating employment in your area, or running your own business for the benefit of people in the area, for the profits to be dispersed to people in the area rather than companies taking it out. And it really appealed to us, you know. So Phyllis, my friend and I, we went down to the meeting. There was Jerry Scott, who was a housing manager in Postle Park, who had the same kind of ethos as Colin, you know. He was keen to see something develop in the area because they felt there was an awful lot of negativity, but nothing positive seemed to come out of it. So we spoke about it, and they were sort of saying, do you have any ideas? And we were saying, well, you know, not really at the moment. So the thing we're most skilled at is looking after children and cleaning, you know, and talking ourselves down, as women are inclined to do sometimes. But we sort of discussed it with Colin, and he was saying, you know, there could be an opportunity here because we would be willing to help you with starting up a business, you know, within the community business. It was Strathclyde Community Business at the time, and John Pierce obviously was the head of the community business at the time. So he says, what we'll do, we'll sit and we'll talk and we'll look at what skills you have, and we'll see what we can develop. Jerry Scott was interested in starting a security within the area, calling it wardens rather than security, and it was just to look after people in the area in a non-police fashion, for local people to do it, so that people in the area knew that it was what it was. He also had an idea for a painting and decorating scheme. A lot of houses would get emptied. People would get it, and this is a damning statement, but they used to get a cheque to decorate it, but the cheque didn't always go that way. It was used for other needs or requirements. So his idea in conjunction with Colin was to set up a painting and decorating group who would redo the houses and do that. So that's where it started. So we sat and we were speaking to Colin about it, and we're sort of saying, probably cleaning. And knowing it is quite a fierce market, we thought, do we want to try something for us a bit different? And we thought about, there are a lot of new houses getting built in the area, in Maryhill at that time. And we thought about maybe doing builders cleaning, not realising how hard it was going to be, you know, not thinking it through totally. But Colin sort of said, you know, well, let's investigate it. So we looked around. We got into contact with quite a few people in the area and sort of said to them, would you be willing to use a new company, you know, and whatever. So we had sort of positive vibes coming back. And what we done then was we had to go to quite a lot of training. We had to get our business plan sorted up, because you've got to understand the concept, haven't you? You know, you're so getting into it. At that time, there was a thing, and I can't remember the name of it, but you got £40 a week to enable you to start up, you know, so that you had some sort of salary, because obviously you're working, you're billing, you don't get your money right away. So they, Colin via Strathclyde Community Business, took us through all these steps, and we had quite a few interviews with different people within Strathclyde Community Business to see if it was a viable idea, you know, and it wasn't just a wee sort of notional thing that we had done. And we managed to sort of meet the criteria. They felt we were quite committed and going in with Postal Community Business. Seemed like a logical, you know, for the north of the city. And that's how we started. So we'd done our training. We'd done training at the college. We went and got some skills or some additional skills. Practical, sensible help. You know, you're thinking about, I'll go and clean a house, but it's no... You know, the certain criteria has got to be met, and that was a really great turning point for us. I think we started to get a real sense of worth. Do you know that way? You felt, this is actually going to happen. This is really, you know, we're going to get somewhere with this. All we need to do is get work now, you know, once we've done the courses. So, as I say, there was an awful lot of work going off in Maryhill, and we thought, well, why don't we go up there and just ask? Just be bold and go in and say to them, we're a community business. There was myself, Phyllis, and we'd two other girls that we had employed with us. So we went up, and it was Lawrence Construction, who were doing a lot of the work, and we just sort of went into the site office and said to them, you know, we could offer you a really good rate here. Didn't have a clue what the really good rate could have been, but we're the, you know, no stupid, but we're one of the sharp maybe as we should have been. And the fellow was quite impressed. I think our commitment more than our knowledge maybe got him. And he says, well, I'll get you a batch and we'll see how you go. And we'll take it for there. And that's where we started. And that's what we've done. And it was a steep learning curve, I'll tell you. You don't realise, I mean, you're working without water sometimes. What we did find was the guys in the set, I think they looked at us and thought, these poor old dears. Because they were all young kind of cats. But they were really good to us, and they would help us, and they'd get us water. And you know, they were really generous to us. But we done well, and we definitely put in our shifts with it. We done our first batch. I think we done 10, and they were very pleased with the standard of work. So it moved for that, and there we, that was us started. So we started with that, and then we got having sort of thinking, well, we can do this. We managed to get a van because we were using my car at the time, which wasn't ideal for carrying all sorts of mops and pails and. And when we finally managed to get a scrubbing machine, which was mental. We used that. We'd done all sorts of skirting boards. It looked so simple when they were showing us it and in the office when we were trying it. But that made a big difference, though. That really did make a difference to the sort of professional finish that you were getting. So for that, we then started going to other building sites on the back of what we had done for Lawrence, and he was very good. He recommended us to quite a few other Lawrence people. So we started with that. Then we get into housing associations because we thought we're in a similar vein here. You know, we're working within the community, running it ourselves. And we got quite a lot of work for them, doing houses, doing like people maybe leaving the house in great disrepair, and you know, we would go in and clean it. So we moved on for that. We'd done quite a lot of work. We'd done big factories. We got into them. Again, you're looking at your pricing it, and that maybe was, looking back, we maybe should have been a wee bit higher pricing, you know, because I think we kind of underpriced ourselves on some of them. We never ever made great money in the bigger jobs, which we maybe should have, but that was experience and we learned quickly from it, you know. But we'd done factories, we'd done Ibrox when it got refurbished. They, again, via recommendations, that was a great job. That was a really good job. Everybody was asking us to bring out parts of the carpet because it didn't sink down. Can you do things like that? You know what I mean? Come on, I'll be ill there, they'll be cutting bits off. I said, no, no, we don't do things like that. But it was a really, to see it blossoming, and we were creating employment, you know, and the rest of the community business was doing the same. The wardens initially, it was seen as a kind of, who do you think you are? But then people started to realise the positives. These guys were awful good at helping people. And that was that helped establish it. They were then starting to get seen as a friend rather than a foe. The painting and decorating took off big time. And, we all kind of... It did feel like a team. Although we were all in a wee nucleus of our own companies, we also had a screen printing company. We had a hairdresser, a mobile hairdresser. People are looking for opportunities but couldn't get them, and via the community business they did. They weren't all totally successful, but it got people established. And again, it was down to funding. When we got funding, it helped, because we'd started all these businesses with virtually no cash reserve. I mean, that was it in a nutshell. But a lot of it, I felt it was great in that it gave people opportunities. It's hard to remember all the things we've done. We had, as years had went on and we did start to get the benefits, the security done, was it Glastonbury, I remember? I'm talking years and years ago. And that was a learning curve, because it was a whole different concept than what they'd done. But what a prestigious event to get. And it paid well. You know, okay, there was overheads. I kept taking the guys down and all that. But it was a great thing. And the guy, Mike Walker, who's now passed on, he went down, he put on his suit and went, and his security outfit went. I mean, and that was the thing about it. I think everybody mucked in. You know, it wasn't a sort of a hierarchy of managers that weren't prepared to help. And that makes such a difference. But we kind of moved on, and I got made manager of the company, the cleaning care company. And then we got a laundry. We started a laundry in Postle Park. We'd done quite a lot of research for that. People were saying, I'm going back, how old am I? Going back a good number of years. People didn't have finances, you know, in the days to get big washing machines. A lot of families, it was a deprived area. There hadn't been a lot of investment in it. So we felt this is maybe something everybody will use, but we'll still make something from it, you know what I mean? So that ran for years, the laundry. We'd done a laundry and ironing service as well. I'm trying to remember. I mean, there was quite a lot. We weren't afraid to try things, you know. I must say, as I say, not everything was successful, but here we are 30-odd years on, still going strong. Twice a year, people write in for donations. Again, usually within the North area. So money gets dispersed to different organisations and groups and things like that. And that's good as well, because you're putting back in that way financially as well as creating employment. There are, we have insecurity. We now have Edinburgh, we have Allender in Glasgow, we have work up in Perth, we're doing a lot of key holding for different companies. Security has definitely been the jewel in the crown, because they have faced, to my mind, they faced an awful lot of adversity, because they were competing against really big companies, you know, that have done it and are getting done the Commonwealth Games. They've done some of the work for that. Cleaning, I had a brain tumour, and I had to leave. I couldn't, at that time, there was no way I could have come back. It took me quite a long time to recover. A friend, Phyllis, had started the business with me. She took over, but found it difficult with the business side of it. She was great at organising the staff and things, but the actual financials and invoicing and things, that was a bit of a challenge for her. And sounds dreadful, but no long after I had my brain tumour, she had a heart attack. And so the cleaning kind of fell into really Stephen, Colin, and people like that kind of were sustaining it, you know. Stephen, who is the accountant around there, was very, very good at ensuring what still went in. The supervisors that we had were doing what they'd done, but he'd done the business side of it, you know. We did get a lot of support. Thinking back, we did get a lot of support from Colin and Strathclyde Business and John. At one time, we again, in the earlier days, we had a bit of a dip, and we were sort of breaking even. We weren't making money, but we were breaking even. And some members of the board, I was on the board as a non-voting director, a representative from each of the companies was. Obviously anything pertaining to our side of the business, we had to walk, you know. And there were some proposals being put forward by certain members of the board that they stopped Clean Care. My husband was on the board at the time, and he says, I have to abstain for this, obviously, because it's a conflict of interest, you know. God knows what he would have happened to him if he'd have come in with a no vote, you know. But as I say, thinking back, Colin and Jerry Scott and people like that, they were saying, but it's still creating employment, which is the major issue, you know. Okay, it's not making money, but it's not taking money. They're breaking even. They've got 40 odd people working for them. This is an achievement. Don't be so business minded in that respect that, you know, things aren't going so well. So we did get a bit of a reprieve for that, and that made such a difference, you know, because we knew, I mean, I had really felt it's such a sense of ownership that that would be it. You know, you felt if it's to go, I would have been heartbroken, and we had put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and an awful lot of hours in it. I mean, we used to work, my husband would come and help us, people would help us, who really shouldn't have been out working. You know, my husband had back injuries at the time, but you had to get a job done for a certain time to come out and do what they could do, you know, just because of their commitment to the community business. And that was a motivating factor. It was quite amazing how many people wanted it to succeed. So, as I say, when it kind of fell into heartbroken at having to leave it, my husband was still on the board, I was still a board member. I'd go to the meetings, but at that time, I was recovering from having got chemo, etc. I'd be sitting there kind of understanding the summit. Fortunately, everything was wrote down in minutes, and I'd all the reports, so you could get the gist of it. But it worried me. We had bought a Caledonian lock and safe company, a big key holding company, who are in the Paulett Shaws area. Quite a big company, we had bought them over, and they came in, and that was a good bit of work. But the fellow who'd sold it found it hard to to leave the control of it to the board. He found it very difficult. But we went along for a few years with him, and he just found it hard, and he asked if he could buy it back. You know, he just found it too hard to work in that sort of situation. So they had quite a bit of discussion about that, but they ended up selling it back to him at a profit. But there has been a lot over the years. There has been times when it has been difficult for every company, the painting, decorating, the funding for that sort of refitting stopped. I don't know, just council, you know, the things are suitable for 3 years and then somewhere else. So they faced a bit of a dilemma, but they also got into doing house painting for private customers. And they kept going for a good number of years. I mean, but it kind of died a natural death just because the source. And it was getting the money, you know, getting it paid. You did great jobs, but if you didn't get your money in 30 days or 60 days, which was the norm, it could be difficult for them. So they kind of fell away, and it ended up, it was just it was still Clean Care and Allender Security that were the successful survivors, would you say? Having said that, a lot of the people that worked with us went on to do their own things. So you enabled a lot of people, and I thought, well, that's good as well, you know. It's not just you that's benefiting, it's not just your employers, they're going on to create employment again in their own ventures. And to my mind, it was such a great idea. It was such a proud moment when you look back and you think, my God, all the work we've created in this area. It rejuvenated quite a lot of the people, you know, it really did. It was a turning point for very many of them who started to see what they could do and what they were worth, rather than being told, oh, you come from Postle or Milton and you're scum and you're this and you're that. The commitment was amazing. As I say, the work that you were asking people to do, sometimes, even the security, I mean, these guys are working 24/7. It has just been a great experience, and it's sad that it's not in the same vein nowadays. I think it's a wee bit harder for, I hate to use the word ordinary people, but sometimes if you've not got an education to the higher levels, or you've not got the skills in your vocabulary to pass over your ideas, whereas with Strathclyde Community Business, and I think from John Pearce down, John had a core commitment to creating employment, to enable people to do it for themselves. And I think that struck true with a lot of the community business that started at that time. It was a great feeling, the sense of ownership. You'd your share that you bought for a pound, you know, and local people were buying it because they felt they were investing in themselves. That was the thing. They weren't investing in a big company. They were getting it back into their own community. And I think that's the thing that stays with me still. I'm still involved with my husband was the chairperson. Michael passed away 3 years ago, and the board elected myself. So I still feel I've got the same commitment that I had 30 odd years ago. I still feel I've got my fingers on the pulse with it. I get any information that I might require whenever I request it. If I feel at meetings, if, you know, everything's fair and open on the table, we talk, there's a great sense of trust. I think that may be the other thing within the group. If there's any kind of issues at all, if they need any information from me, they know I'm on the phone and happy to pop round whenever. I don't need to be there every day, but I am on tap with it. The ironic thing is my son, Michael, was looking for work, and the job that I used to do, they decided to, because Stephen was finding it a bit difficult doing everything, they decided to re-advertise it, so he thought he would apply. And I felt not too sure about this because it's one of these, you know, family member sort of thing. But neither my husband or I were on the panel that interviewed them. We had people from out with our community business. We had, I don't know if you know Helen McNeil, who works for GCVS. Helen at that time was, like myself, a younger person, and wasn't he? I don't think she was with GCVS then, but she was in the interviewing panel. I think, what was his name? Duncan, I can't remember Duncan's second name, who worked for Strathclyde Community Business, and people like that, they were interviewing them, and Michael actually hit the criteria. So here we are, my son's running the company. He doesn't talk to me much about it because he knows I will give him advice that mothers give rather than the professional person. Obviously, at the meetings we discuss it, but we've decided it's no for in the house. But it's a great feeling to know that he has the same commitment. And I think, is that not a great thing? You know, that your views, your feelings, and when I say you, I mean my husband and I both, have been passed on. He sees the sense that he'd worked in bigger companies, and he was, you know, he says that the sort of sense that you get for it is, it's ours, it's not anybody else's, you know. And that's it. So it's a fantastic achievement. Quite a lot of them have fell by the wayside over the years. Mismanagement, just things don't pan out. It's just the nature of the beast. But I do think that the initial group who were there, who are still involved, have passed that ethos that we got for John and Colin and Glenn and all of them at Strathclyde. I think that core value is still there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's still there. So ended the lesson. But it really is. I think it's a fantastic achievement. It's great to see all the work that's getting done. And it's great to see that the profits are still being dispersed within the community. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing.
And do you think that there's still that connection with the community? You mentioned that people used to put
I think it's changed slightly since we used to be based in Postle Park. I mean, we started off in a flat up a close. That's what we had. That was our offices. Obviously, as the business grew, we had to expand because we needed more space, and we've moved further up into an industrial estate. I think that's taken a wee bit of that away, I would say, that way, because you would walk up and down the street and meet people who would be saying, so how are you doing and whatever. That maybe has lost a wee bit, and the fact that the wardens aren't there anymore, that business, unfortunately, again, things changed, the whole sort of ethos of doing that changed. The community, the council had taken over an idea similar to it, you know. So in that sense, I would say it's detached slightly. But people are still aware that they can write in. I mean, they still know about it. Do you know what I mean? But I wouldn't say there's, in that respect, the local, how would you say? Not the local knowledge, but you're slightly detached being in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pity we couldn't have afforded something still in that part of the area. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, it's all down to cash. It's what you can afford. Mm-hmm. You know.
And I was, that must have been quite an amazing journey to start off with four people cleaning.
Aye,
and kind of moving up to 40.
Oh,
how
did
you?
I think I was thinking my brain should have said that. It was panic. Sometimes, I mean, really, because you were having to go to here, to there, to, you know, you had to see clients, obviously. You've got to nurture your clients, you've got to look after them, and that's an important part to it as well. Keep the relationships, you know, check in that everything is all right. Don't presume that everything's all right because you're not hearing anything. I mean, some days it was absolutely crazy. And as I say, even though the elevation had been to manager, sometimes you were still cleaning because you had to. You just, jobs had to be done, and that was it. You just had to go out and do it. But sometimes it was it was stressful. I mean, it wasn't lovely fairy glancing about. Sometimes it was harsh. But at the back of it was this, and I feel I keep harping back to it, this commitment that it's ours. You know, so you put more into something when you've got a belief in it. Yeah, you do it. And we were, not say everybody that worked for us was the same, but the majority weren't, because they knew it was ours, you know. But sometimes it was hard. I mean, there was times, especially cash flow could be difficult when you were working with bigger companies, because they tended not, we were a small debt to them, but to us it was a lot of money. So they would be paying out all the hundreds of thousands at the top of it, but not paying us our 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. We were always chasing. I mean, that was another thing I learned. Mm-hmm. I was a debt collector. Sometimes you just had to go. But again, if you went and explained it to them, you know, I'd say 95% of them would understand you needed it, mm-hmm. you know, because you've always got costs. There's transport and, you know, just material costs, you know, offices that you cleaned, you have to fit, and obviously there's standards that have to be met. You've got to keep to the criteria for health and safety, you know. So it was a steep learning curve, I can assure you. But you never stop learning in life, so it's not a bad thing. I don't think it is. I think it's good. If it had been off easy, it wouldn't have been the same, because that was the lows and then you had the highs, so...
And what were the highs?
The highs were getting the good jobs and getting... And sometimes, I'll tell you, and it sounds kind of thingy, but sometimes the highs were somebody saying to you, what an excellent bit of work you have done there. As simple as that, you know, and you feel, well, we've done what we set out to do. We've done a good job and people are happy. And clients coming back to you was the high as well, you know, or recommending you into different organisations or groups. I mean, you kind of beat word of mouth recommendation, can you? You kind of buy that. But again, for me, and another one of the highs was creating the employment, because at the time that we started, it was dire. It really was. And it's not everybody's aims and aspirations to be a cleaner. But we offered something a wee bit extra sometimes, and we made sure we spoke to everybody, we spoke to our workers, we made sure, you know, we had a connection. You knew a name, you know. I don't remember them now, unfortunately, but at the time you knew people, you know. You didn't just, it wasn't just her that works at whatever, St. Rollocks or wherever it would be, you knew people. So you had a relationship with your employees, which is important. Mm-hmm. Treat them the way you'd like to be treated yourself. It's quite an important part of it. But we used to have, I mean, when you think back, we'd done Lennox Castle Hospital when it was the hospital. We were out there, they had got a refurb, and some of the patients they just wandered about, aimlessly wandering about, some of them, God love them. And this wee man used to come in every morning, he'd be waiting for our van to arrive. This was obviously in the early days. And, can I help you? Say, aye, certainly, come on in. So we'd give him a brush or whatever we were doing. And it would be like, what is the word they say? What's the word they call it now? Mentoring. That's the word they use, right? We were saying, just do what we're doing, you know. And he loved it. And at the end of the week, we'd spoke to the staff and sort of said to him, you know, is it okay, he's coming in? I mean, we're okay about it, are you? So as long as he's all right, you're all right, we're all right, you know. And we said to him, we're going to give him some money. Is that okay? Aye. How much? Just something to acknowledge that he's doing what he's... And the joy in that man's face was... It was amazing, because it was something you hadn't experienced. You know, so it's wee things like that you remember. It's very small and insignificant to some people, but not to me. I felt it was, you know, he was coming to work. That was what he started saying. I'm coming to work. I'll be here tomorrow. And I said, so will we. Don't worry about it. We were there for weeks. So he loved it. And he was such... And I think he enjoyed the conversation as well. You know, I mean, everybody would listen to his wee stories. I'd love him. But the other highs as well, I think, actually, when you think of it, it's all about the people in it. At the end of the day. I'm getting teary here, this is dreadful. I'm back, but okay, we had some really good times. And as I say, I think it was such an opportunity, and we were very lucky that we got the link in that we did. And we were lucky that we was Colin and Jerry, and we were lucky it was John, you know, who could see something in us that maybe we couldn't see ourselves. Which is a nice thing, you know.
I'm also thinking about all the business skills you must have had to learn along the way. Was that something you did formally, or was it just learning?
I had worked in shops. I was always quite good with numbers. I was always good at counting. I was always good at talking, which was a skill in itself. But we did have to learn quite a lot. I mean, we really did have to, as I say, getting into price work, because we hadn't had experience of doing it, sometimes you underestimated it, you know. But you learned quickly. It is literally learning on the job. So that was all right. Invoicing and keeping... I only kept a basic account because we did have an accountant there. And Stephen was very good. He would keep you up to par. Invoicing and things were no problem to me. I didn't find that difficult. Once I get in there, I found it. And I would just keep a record of everything. That was I'm a great writer down of things, so that was a good thing to be. But initially it was kind of daunting, you know, because we hadn't done it before. And although we had our £40 income, we knew we had to earn. As I said, that first batch that we done for Lawrence, he probably got them at a song, but we soon upped it. We soon realised the amount of work and the thing that they do called snagging, where workers would go in and have to redo things, then we'd have to go in and re-clean. And initially we were doing that, and I thought, oh no. We need to price everything. So we learned quite quickly with that. And again, if you had any difficulties, it goes back to the team thing. You could approach people like Stephen, like Colin, and say, look, we're not sure about this. Is there anybody that you know? And they'd maybe link you in another community business who were working, possibly not the same work, but having faced similar problems. So that was good. I mean, we used to kind of know the people in Govan, obviously. And the girl, here I go, see names. Can't remember her name. She done a knitting. She did a community business. They were doing knitting and exporting it. But we were all facing the same problems. Cash flows, pricing, you know. So you could sit and talk. It was like a No Alcoholics Anonymous, but a support group within, you know what I mean? Because you were speaking to people who'd faced the same problems, which was good, because you're thinking then, oh, well, it's not just us. It's not just us. We're all kind of... As we've grown up, we're learning these things, you know, and people were generous in that respect. Again, I feel like I keep harping back to John and Colin, but I think they were so committed to the ideology of it that the people who came from that wee acorn that they planted were coming up with the same ideas most of the time, you know. I think the sort of concept was such a... At the end of the day, when you think about it, what is it all about? It is about working together for the benefit of everybody, mm-hmm. not just for the few. And that was what community business was and is still in my mind, mm-hmm. you know?
And I'm also thinking that as well as learning all these new things about running a business, and keeping a company going. How did you juggle that with your family life?
It was interesting. As I say, at that time, Michael had had a very serious accident in his work. Really bad back injuries. So he, in essence, was a house husband. But he also was involved in the community business as a senior director, so he understood it. We did, I mean, my two older sons, they would have been, I think what age would they have been? They'd have been 15 and 16. Kenny would be 6 or 7. And he was at school. But Michael, where we stayed then, our school was 200 yards up the road. Michael would collect and bring them back. Was never a problem in that respect. But it was times when they were ill and things like that, and you felt, I need to be here. But again, the support from within that group, I could take that time, because I'd done it. If they needed it, I'd done it, and vice versa, and that's the way we worked. But it could be hard, and I've got to be honest and say, the last thing I felt like doing when I come in at night was cleaning or cooking, I can assure you. And I was very fortunate in that my husband Michael cooked. It didn't bother, he enjoyed cooking. I used to think, there's something strange about you, that I hated it. I'd done it for years and I hated it, but Michael was very, it was a creative thing to him, and he done it. And so that maybe was the bonus that I had, a husband who was very understanding about it, and I think he enjoyed as much as we enjoyed seeing this community business grow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I think that made a difference. But sometimes, okay, it could be hard. Summer holidays could be difficult, But again, having three sons and a football-mad husband, he would take them up the park and they would just, they would kick him out. He was a man that always enjoyed children, and our kids were they were the joy of his life, We enjoyed our holidays, obviously, but it could be hard. It's like any working woman, isn't it? You are juggling all the balls, you've got to, But you get, I think what I did find quite quickly was to get a system that worked for me, where I'd done things like washing and ironing and got, you got a structure. That was what you'd done, And except for there was always a wee blip, because that's life in general. But it was never, I don't ever remember it being a major problem, in all honesty. In that if I could not get into work because of one of my children being ill or whatever, it was always covered. And it was accepted, that there was an understanding of why. You never abused it, but things happen as a mother and as running a house. But some nights I couldn't sleep. I mean, you'd be up to Hydo thinking about pricing the straw, but you're going into bed thinking about it, I'll get his stuff for school, and then I'll need to price that, and how many people will we need for that? It was sometimes very difficult to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn that as well. I think that comes with, what's the old saying, with age comes wisdom. Took me a while, but it did. You had to learn that you shut that door, and the house is your family, and don't be too much going on about the work. Although he would always say, Michael would always say, how was it the day? So that was good in a way, because if it was a bad day, you could go, so you got an emotional release, which you sometimes need. But I genuinely don't remember any time that I felt I'm walking for this. It was never that bad, even at the worst times when, as I say, we were tight for cash and things. I kept thinking, we'll need to find. It was the time of the dip. I mean, everybody was suffering. It wasn't just us. But we're still here, and we're still going on, which is good.
And what about other women in the area? Was the cleaning jobs their only source of income, or was
it? Well, we employed people. Sorry.
Do you that? Yep, that's us. So we were just talking about, you talked about your own experience about being a working mum. in the company, and I was just wondering about other women's experiences and what that cleaning job meant to them.
For a lot of them, it was an absolute lifeline, because we could work flexible hours with our office cleaning. And we did try to accommodate people. Having been in the position yourself, you understood it very clearly. The laundry, we had employed 3 people in the laundry because initially it was really busy. And that was good because we worked a sort of shift rota for them for that. A lot of them, it was part-time work, but nevertheless, it was work. And that money made such a difference to the household. The cleaning, the sort of higher, no higher power, the longer sort of jobs, we had a core group that done them, you know, and that was fine. But again, I think an awful lot of them felt really good at getting it to work. And again, it was a local company. And again, it was coming back into the community. And I think a lot of people understood that. We did, although when we started getting things like the housing associations where we were having to work further out, we would recruit out in the areas, because getting people, we couldn't afford that amount of time transporting people with our van that we had at the time, or my car. So in that respect, sometimes the jobs went out with, but nevertheless, we're still going into the community. But within Postle Park Milton, there was an awful lot of jobs created, not just by us, you know, not just within the cleaning company. The security and all that, everything was thingied. But the thing was, as I say, I think just getting that bit extra money made such a difference. And sometimes it enabled them to claim other benefits that, you know, you had to have so many hours work to get. So it made a difference to a lot of people in their standard of living, going for just getting by, as they say, you know, just kind of managing and getting a wee bit extra money. And as I say, wasn't it, well, some of the jobs were good, some of the office cleaning jobs were fine, and again, we tended to try and fit the right people to the right places, you know, and most of them, I'll not say everybody stayed with us forever, but we had a really quite a strong group of people that worked with us for a long, long, long time, you know, which was good. And it was good just to give them the opportunity. And people, again, when we were based there, you'd be coming up the street, people saying, are you looking for anybody, you know? And that was good. And you would genuinely take, not just going, well, give me your number and thing. You would keep them, you know, keep them in reserve and speak to them. And if they were right, well and good. That was a thing I found hard. That was with me joking at all. Interviewing people was difficult if you had to say no. And then you had to learn that, because you can't say yes to everybody. Not everyone is appropriate for certain jobs, and you know. But I didn't always find that easy, because some of them you could see it would have made such a difference. But you can't be too emotional about it. You've got to be a wee bit realistic. But where we could, we did. You know?
And what kind of criteria were you looking for when you were?
You were looking for somebody that you felt, well, first of all, that you could trust, because you were giving them keys, and again, speaking specifically about the office cleaning and things like that, you felt you wanted somebody who had the commitment, you know, who had the enthusiasm, who had quite, well, I say social skills, and that's not exactly it, but someone that if this person came into your office, you would feel comfortable with them, you know. Training wise, I mean, everybody would say I'm a cleaner, but we did have certain specifics that had to be met, but we would do that. So that, you know, that wasn't a problem. You felt, you know, we can all learn, as I say. But I think the trust, you had to feel it was somebody that could be trusted, that had a commitment to the company or to yourself, and someone that could relate well to other people. Quite important. The skills came, you know, you would take people in and you would show them the way it was to be done, and saying, if you do it like that, you will have no problems. Simple as that. We never... I mean, some jobs were maybe hard sometimes, but generally speaking, in the office, if we'd go in and we'd blitz initially, get it to a good standard and say to them, just maintain that, do blah, 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 we would write out a rota of what was to be done, and that was it, you know. But as I say, we had people that worked with us for years, you know, who they were just... I keep saying committed, it sounds like it's an asylum. But you know what I mean? But they had, the ethos was coming through to them. They seen the positives of working for what in essence was a smaller company, but they were treated better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's important. That is really important.
You mentioned that there was a kind of a blip. Was that kind of in the 1990s?
90s, it would have been about then. I mean,
it was a hard time.
It was hard.
What was the pressures?
It was severe because you didn't want to have to pay anybody off. That was the first thing. But when you're not making money, you know, you've got to reevaluate. And although we were going to clients and saying to them, you know, we have to put the prices up a wee bit, they were having the same experience. So that was really difficult for us. I found that, again, back to our team, you felt a personal responsibility, you know. Unfortunately, I think we had to lose a couple of jobs because they just were not cost effective, you know. And we were taking on work that previously we might not have done, things like clothes cleaning, which was a vile, horrible job to do. But you were getting money there, so you had to go where it was, you know. But we started employing quite a few men for that, and that was fine, you know. We were telling them what to do. They always said, oh, that's not right, because we did always have, there was always guys that worked with drivers, and with guys that we did like high cleaning and things like that. But it was hard. It was a struggle for everybody at the time, and it was a paying off. I used to think, oh, please God, let us get something so we don't have to, you know. But we got there, we rode it out, you know. But the other, what did happen was security, if I remember, again, my memory's dreadful, probably Jim McMillan would know better. They were doing quite well, so that kind of offset our costs a bit, you know, because obviously we all paid our varying amounts into the community business. So we were able to kind of get, because they were doing all right, we were able to kind of ride it out a wee bit back to the teamwork, mm-hmm. you know, and it was never grudgingly given. It was never them saying, oh, we're keeping yous going, or, you know, never happened like that. But it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was hard.
And did the cleaning company ever get any government subsidies, or was it purely on your own contracts that you could even?
We more or less got it all ourselves. We tried repeatedly to try and get help from agencies, you know, but somehow we never seemed to meet the criteria, mm-hmm. you know. Possibly had we went into different types of cleaning, going into what is it they call it? You know, I can't even remember the name of it. You know, going into like offices where they have the computer and stuff and things like that. Specialised cleaning and that. We never done that. We never really get into that. Or maybe going into bigger value. We never went that way. We tended to stay with what we knew. Looking back, that was maybe a mistake because we should have expanded our skill base, as I say. But at the time, I think the funds weren't there. You weren't getting... Because we were reasonably well established, community business in some respects had gone out of flavour, which happens. There's things that funders will fund for a while and then something new comes along. So it was difficult. It also changed from Strathclyde Community Business to Strathclyde Enterprise, and that it had a different concept then, because they'd done what they should have done, which is change, you know, they had to, but they kind of, there was differences then where, and you didn't have the same, I think John, had John retired then? I don't think John was there then. It was a different kind of, way of looking at it. It was more like jobs and businesses and things like that are now, you know. They were more looking for individual, entrepreneurial people rather than looking at it as a collective, I felt. Because I remember we did go down to speak to them and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a fair reassurance. Because we were just looking for advice and we didn't seem to get it. But we, I actually think I get back in touch with Colin and he says he's going to speak to blah blah, you know. So that was good. That kind of followed on. But that was as a personal favour he'd done that, you know. But it was difficult because you would see organisations getting mega money and, you know, and you think, we're, you know, here we are, I'm not just talking about the cleaning, I'm talking about the whole group. Sometimes it did struggle along, you know. And again, it was all back to not having the base that you needed to start, because you were generating your income as you started. You didn't have any kind of cushion, you know, which makes such a difference. I think we did get a wee start-up grant again from Strathclyde Community Business to enable us to buy equipment. Excuse me. But we're not talking, you know, hundreds and thousands of pounds by any means. And the security, I think they also got a grant for uniforms and walkie-talkies, which were very basic. Painting and decorating were different because they had that funding that had been getting diverted, you know, so it was more cost effective. They got their equipment and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know.
So would you still describe the Allander Group as a community business rather than a social enterprise?
Aye. I always call it Postal Community Business. It'll never be the Allander Group to me. It's one of the things. I mean, I call it if I'm speaking to other people in a business sort of thing. But no, it's always been the community business to me, and I cherish that wee thought. You know, that it's a community enterprise, community business, but no, in a way, I suppose it is a social enterprise because it enabled people. But it just sounded better to me as the community business belonging to us and, you know, benefiting everybody.
And so you never wanted to kind of change the company in any way to be a social enterprise?
Personally, no. I think other people might have, but I, no.
What do you think it would have meant if it had?
I think it would have tarnished for this. I think the sense of ownership would change if it went to that, because you have to bring in different people who might not be singing from what we started out as. I know that social enterprise about creating employment. I mean, I know things like that, but I felt. I think the community business ethos was people doing it for themselves. We're just a wee help along the way. Well, saying a wee help, it was a big help. But you were made to feel it was yours. It went the way that we envisaged it would go, that we would hope it would go. And I think with social enterprise, I think they're answerable price-wise and number-wise, and the personalisation gets lost a bit, mate. You become, you know, your number 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever you might be. And I might be demeaning them, but that was just my concept. I know other people might have over the years we had different managers who had different sort of aims and aspirations, but in the main, the group that were there, and there's still a few years there, had this wee feeling about it's ours, you know. And I don't mean that in a, it's ours, don't touch it, you know, but there was a sense of ownership with it, that it was what it was and it still is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about the future now. Do you think the Allender Group will exist in another 30 years time?
I do. I think that there's... We've brought in... we've got someone in now, Jane, who is marketing. And that was something that was always difficult because you were marketing, you were pricing, you were working. Having somebody to do that has benefited them. I think that's how we got the Commonwealth Games, because she had worked for, was it Mighty or one of these companies, but found the pressure having to meet the targets, which would accelerate it great. You know, you'd achieve the target, it would be immediately another 100,000, whatever. So I think coming into our environment was different for her, and it was difficult for her at first because she was used with fast pace, hard, and it's not like that. I mean, I don't mean that it's lax, but there's not the same pressure in that respect. So she wasn't, and she has done an amazing bit of work, you know. I mean, Jim McMillan still goes out and sells because he's got contacts, and that's what you do. Michael still goes out and markets or sells, but she's also doing it, and I think that's made a difference. So I could see that being the stepping stone that will carry us on, you know. I mean, obviously people will move on, nature of the beast, we're all getting older, but you would hope that whoever comes into it comes in with the understanding of what it is, you know, that it doesn't change too much. I know it has to change, I mean, life's like that, it's got to change, but you would hope that this commitment to employment and reinvesting in people would stay with them.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the area still needs that?
Yes. There seems to be a... The area's been tarnished a bit because you mentioned Postle Park and Milton, and it's all thugs, rogues, and there are thugs and rogues, but there's thugs and rogues everywhere. What they don't see is the good people that are there who are trying hard to do it, and there's a lot of people working within the community trying to do things, you know. That it is needing an investment in people. Again, back to the community business concept, it's needing people to come in again. And maybe, you know, as I'm talking to you, maybe we should be the people that are doing that. Maybe we should be going to groups and saying, look, we've done it, why don't you try? You know, do it for yourself rather than wait for somebody. But again, you're back to the funding, you know. But it is an area that's not had an awful lot of financial input to enhance it. And sometimes when it has had it, it's been people who have came, and I say this from experience, who have came to consult, who listen to what you say, but already have decided what the solution's going to be. They don't necessarily take on board what the local people know, the problems. They know where the benefits could come from, but it doesn't always happen like that, because a decision has already actually been made, and this is councils or whoever it might be ticking the box to say, we consulted with the local people. And they don't really listen to it. And who knows better than the person in the area where the investments should be. I feel sorry for the young people. I think there's a sense of apathy in some respects about getting employment, and that's really quite sad. That is really quite sad. Because they feel there is this postcode lottery kind of goes on, that you say you're from blah blah, and the presumption's made. And there's so many people here, but so many talents. I mean, it is amazing what goes on, which is never, you never see that in the press. Mm-hmm. You know, you always see the negatives, you don't always see the positives, and there's a lot of positives going on, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are doing a lot of things individually and collectively to try and help. But there should be some investment in training and enabling people to maybe achieve something. You don't have to always be a genius at school. I mean, an awful lot of people have made a lot of money who never done well at school. Who, Tom Farmer, I mean, the man's dyslexic, couldn't read or write, and look what he's done, because he had a belief in himself, and I think that's what's missing here. You know, because they've been told they're, well, we're rascals and tow rags, and they're no, but they're getting labelled with it. You know, I find that quite sad.
And I don't have any more questions for you, Susan, but do you think there's anything I've missed?
No, I think you've covered it well. I mean, as I say, to my mind, it was so much credit should go to John and people like him, and I don't know who John got his inspiration from, if it came for himself. But this was a man who stayed true to his values. Although he was elevated and venerated, he was still John, and you could go and talk to him. You know, he still had a great commitment. I think that was it. He was a humanitarian, and that's exactly what it's about. And I think Colin and the rest of them that worked with him took that on board. You know, he's seen what people could do, not what they couldn't do. And I think that's a great gift, if you've got that, to look at people and not be judgmental in a negative way, but to be positive about them, you know. And I think that's what the community business is about, investing in people. What else can you say? That's it.
Brilliant. Well, if you're happy, I'll stop the recording now.
I'm sorry, everyone was...